One need only look at the aftermath of his brief visit to Cell to see proof of what I say.
Kaladin didn't want to open his eyes. If he opened his eyes, he'd be awake. And if he were awake, that pain, the burning in his side, the aching of his legs, the dull throb in his arms and shoulders, wouldn't be just a nightmare. It would be real, and it would be his. He rolled onto his side. It all ached. Every length of muscle, every inch of skin, his head pounded. It seemed that his very bones were sore. He wanted to lie motionless and throbbing until Gaz was forced to come and tow him out by his ankles.
That would be easy. Don't I deserve to do what is easy for once?
But he couldn't. To stop moving, to give up, would be the same as dying, and he could not let that happen. He'd made his decision already. He would help the Bridgemen.
Curse you have. You can boot me out of my bunk even now.
Kaladin threw off his blanket, forcing himself to stand. He felt worse standing up, but the life of a Bridgeman wouldn't wait for him to recover. You either kept up or you got crushed. Kaladin steadied himself, hand against the unnaturally smooth soul-cast rock of the barrack wall. Then he crossed the room. Oddly, more than a few of the men were awake and sitting up. They watched Kaladin in silence.
They were waiting. They wanted to see if I'd get up.
He found the three wounded where he'd left them at the front of the barrack. He checked on Layton. Amazingly, he was still alive. His breathing was still shallow, his pulse weak, and his wounds dire. But he was alive.
He won't stay that way long without antiseptic.
None of the wounds looked infected with Rotspren yet, but it would only be a matter of time in these dirty confines. He needed some of the apothecary's salves.
But how?
He checked the other two. Haber was smiling openly. He was round-faced and lean, with a gap between his teeth and short black hair.
Thank you. Thank you for saving me.
You'll be fine. You won't be able to walk for a few weeks. I'll bring food from the mess hall for you.
Thank you.
Hopper took Kaladin's hand, clutching it. He actually seemed to be tearing up. That smile forced back the gloom, made the aches and soreness fade. Kaladin's father had described that kind of smile. Those smiles weren't why Liren had become a surgeon, but they were why he remained one.
Rest, and keep that wound clean. We don't want to attract any Rotspren. Let me know if you see any. They are small and red, like tiny insects.
Hopper nodded eagerly, and Kaladin moved to Dabbid. The youthful Bridgeman looked just as he had the day before, staring forward, eyes unfocused.
He was sitting like that when I fell asleep, sir. It's like he hasn't moved all night. Gives me the chills, it does.
Kaladin snapped his fingers in front of Dabbid's eyes. The men focused on the fingers, following them as Kaladin moved his hand.
He's been hit in the head, I think.
No, it's battle shock. It will wear off.
I hope.
If you say so, sir.
Kaladin stood and pushed the door open all the way, lighting the room. It was a clear day, the sun just barely over the horizon. The air was cool, chilly, clinging to the vestiges of night. It smelled clean and fresh. Spring weather.
You got up. Might as well get on with it.
He forced himself to go out and do his stretches, body complaining at each motion. Then he checked his own wound.
It's not too bad, though infection could make it worse. Stormwinds, take that apothecary.
He fetched a ladle full of water from the Bridgeman barrel, using it to wash his wound. He immediately regretted the bitter thought against the elderly apothecary.
What was the man to do? Give me the antiseptic for free?
It's High Prince Sadeus I should be cursing.
Sadeus was responsible for the wound, and was also the one who had forbidden the Surgeon's Hall to give supplies to Bridgemen, slaves, and servants of the Lesser Nans. A handful of Bridgemen had risen to get something to drink. They stood around the barrel regarding Kaladin. There was only one thing to do. Setting his jaw, Kaladin crossed the lumber grounds and located the plank he'd carried the day before. The carpenters hadn't yet added it to their bridge, so Kaladin picked it up and walked back to the barracks. Then he began practicing the same way he had yesterday. He couldn't go as fast. In fact, much of the time, he could only walk. But as he worked, his aches soothed. His headache faded. His feet and shoulders still hurt, and he had a deep, latent exhaustion, but he didn't embarrass himself by falling over. In his practice, he passed the other bridgeman barracks. The men in front of them were barely distinguishable from those in Bridge 4. The same dark, sweat-stained leather vests over bare chests or loosely tied shirts. There was the occasional foreigner, Thalen's or Vaden's most often. But they were unified in their scraggly appearances, unshaven faces and haunted eyes. Several groups watched Kaladin with outright hostility. Were they worried that his practice would encourage their own bridge leaders to work them? He had hoped that some members of Bridge 4 might join his workout. They'd obeyed him during the battle, after all, even going so far as to help him with the wounded. His hope was in vain. While some bridgemen watched, others ignored him. None took part. Eventually, Syl flitted down and landed on the end of his plank, riding like a queen on her palanquin.
They're talking about you.
Not surprising.
Some think you've gone mad, like that man who just sits and stares at the floor. They say the battle stress broke your mind.
Maybe they're right. I didn't consider that.
What is madness?
It's when men don't think right.
Men never seem to think right.
Madness is worse than normal. It really just depends on the people around you. How different are you from them? The person that stands out is mad, I guess.
So you all just vote on it?
Well, not so actively, but it's the right idea.
Kaladin, why do men lie? I can see what lies are, but I don't know why people do it.
Lots of reasons.
Is it madness?
I don't know if I'd say that. Everyone does it.
So maybe you're all a little mad.
Yes, perhaps.
But if everyone does it, then the one who doesn't would be the one who is mad, right? Isn't that what you said earlier?
Well, I guess. But I don't think there's a person out there who hasn't ever lied.
Dalinar.
Who?
The king's uncle. Everyone says he never lies. Your bridgemen even talk about it sometimes.
That's right. Blackthorn.
Kaladin had heard of him, even in his youth.
He's a light eyes. That means he lies.
But
they're all the same, Syl. The more noble they look, the more corrupt they are inside. It's all an act.
Storm, you MRM. You did this to me.
He'd been burned too often to trust the flame.
I don't think men were always this way.
Kaladin waited for her to continue, but she didn't. He passed Bridge 4 again. Many of the men relaxed, backs to the barrack wall, waiting for the afternoon shade to cover them. They rarely waited inside. Perhaps staying inside all day was too gloomy, even for bridgemen.
Syl, were you going to say something?
It seems I've heard men talk about times when there were no lies.
There are stories about the times of the heraldic epics, when men were bound by honor. But you'll always find people telling stories about supposedly better days. You watch. A man joins a new team of soldiers, and the first thing he'll do is talk about how wonderful his old team was. We remember the good times and the bad ones, forgetting that most times are neither good nor bad. They just are. The stories, they prove it. What happened to the heralds? They abandoned us. What happened to the Knights Radiant? They fell and became tarnished. What happened to the Epic Kingdoms? They crashed when the Church tried to seize power. You can't trust anyone with power, Syl.
What do you do then? Have no leaders?
No. You give the power to the Light Eyes and leave it to corrupt them. Then try to stay as far from them as possible.
Syl fell silent, and he decided to stop his practicing. He couldn't afford to strain himself again. He returned the plank. The carpenters scratched their heads, but didn't complain. He made his way back to the bridgemen, noticing that a small group of them, including Rock and Teft, were chatting and glancing at Kaladin.
You know, talking to you probably doesn't do anything for my reputation of being insane.
Oh, I'll do my best to stop being so interesting.
Syl alighted on his shoulder. She put her hands on her hips, then plopped down to a sitting position, smiling, obviously pleased with her comment. Before Kaladin could get back to the barrack, he noticed Gaz hustling across the lumberyard toward him.
You! Hold a season!
Kaladin stopped, waiting with folded arms.
I've got news for you. Brightlord Lamoral heard what you did with the wounded.
How?
Storms, boy! You think people wouldn't talk? What were you going to do? Hide three men in the middle of us all?
All right. What does it matter? We didn't slow the army.
Yeah, but Lamoral isn't too polished on the idea of paying and feeding bridgemen who can't work. He took the matter to High Prince Sadeus, intending to have you strung up.
Kaladin felt a chill. Strung up would mean hung out during a high storm for the Stormfather to judge. It was essentially a death sentence.
And?
Bright Lord Sadeus refused to let him do it.
What?
Had he misjudged Sadeus?
No. This is part of the act.
Bright Lord Sadeus told Lamoral to let you keep the soldiers, but to forbid them food or pay while they're unable to work. Said it would show why he's forced to leave bridgemen behind.
That Kremlin.
Hush! That's the High Prince himself you're talking about, boy.
He's trying to make an example of my men. He wants the other bridgemen to see the wounded suffer and starve. He wants it to seem like he's doing a mercy by leaving the wounded behind.
Well, maybe he's right.
It's heartless. He brings back wounded soldiers. He leaves the bridgemen because it's cheaper to find new slaves than it is to care for wounded ones.
Gaz fell silent.
Thank you for bringing me the news.
News? I was sent to give you orders, Lordling. Don't try to get extra food from the mess hall for your wounded. You'll be refused.
Kaladin made his way back to the barrack. Where was he going to get food enough to feed three men? He could split his own meals with them, but while bridgemen were kept fed, they weren't given an excess. Even feeding one man beyond himself would be a stretch. Trying to split the meals four ways would leave the wounded too weak to recover and Kaladin too weak to run bridges. And he still needed antiseptic. Rotspren and disease killed far more men in war than the enemy did. Kaladin stepped up to the men lounging by the barrack. Most were going about the usual bridgeman activities, sprawled on the ground and despondently staring into the air, sitting and despondently staring at the ground, standing and despondently staring into the distance. Bridge 4 wasn't on bridge duty at all this day, and they didn't have work detail until third afternoon bell.
Gaz says our wounded are to be refused food or pay until they are well.
Some of them. Sigzil, Pete, Kulf nodded, as if this was what they'd expected.
High Prince Sadeus wants to make an example of us. He wants to prove that bridgemen aren't worth healing, and he's going to do it by making Haber, Leighton, and Dabid die slow, painful deaths. I want to pool our resources to buy medicine and get food for the wounded. We can keep those three alive if a few of you will split your meals with them. We'll need about 24 or so clear marks to buy the right medicine and supplies. Who has something they can spare?
The men stared at him. They waved dismissive hands and broke up, walking away, leaving Kaladin with his hand out.
Next time it could be you! What will you do if you're the one that needs healing?
I'll die!
Moash did not even bother to look back.
Out on the field, quickly, rather than back here over a week's time!
Kaladin lowered his hand. He turned and almost ran into Rock. The beefy, tower-like horn-eater stood with arms folded like a tan-skinned statue. Kaladin looked up at him, hopeful.
Don't have any spheres. He's all spent already.
It wouldn't have mattered anyway. Two of us couldn't afford to buy the medicine, not alone.
I will give some food, but only for this man with arrow in his leg.
Haber?
Whatever. He looks like he could get better. Other one, he will die, is certain. And I have no pity for man who sits there not doing anything. But for the other one, you may have my food. Some of it.
Kaladin smiled, raising a hand and gripping the larger man's arm.
Thank you.
You took my place. Without this thing, I would be dead.
I'm not dead, Rock. You'd be fine.
I'd be dead. Is something strange about you? All men can see it, even if they don't want to speak of this thing. I looked at bridge where you were. Arrows hit all around you, beside your head, next to your hands. But they weren't hitting you.
Luck.
Is no such thing. Besides, there is a Mafaliki who always follows you.
The large horn-eater bowed his head reverently to Syl, then made a strange gesture with his hand, touching his shoulders and then his forehead.
You can see her?
He glanced at Syl. As a windspren, she could appear to those she wanted to, and that generally only meant Kaladin. Syl seemed shocked. No, she hadn't appeared to Rock specifically.
I am Alaiku.
Which means...
sick lowlanders. Is there nothing proper you know? Anyway, you are special, man. Bridge 4 lost 8 runners yesterday, counting the 3 wounded.
I know. I broke my first promise. I said I wasn't going to lose a single one.
We are bridgemen. We die. Is how this thing works. You might as well promise to make the moons catch each other. Of the bridges that were fired upon, most lost many men. 5 bridges fell. They lost over 20 men each and needed soldiers to help get bridges back. Bridge 2 lost 11 men and it wasn't even a focus of firing. Bridge 4 lost 8. 8 men during one of the worst runs of the season. And perhaps you will save 2 of those. Bridge 4 lost fewest men of any bridge that the Parshendi tried to drop. Bridge 4 never loses fewest men. Everyone knows how it is.
Luck.
A sick lowlander.
It was just luck, but, well, Kaladin would take it for the small blessing it was. No use arguing when someone had finally decided to start listening to him. But one man wasn't enough. Even if both he and Rock went on half rations, one of the sick men would starve. He needed spheres. He needed them desperately, but he was a slave. It was illegal for him to earn money in most ways. If only he had something he could sell. But he owned nothing. A thought occurred to him.
Come on.
Rock followed curiously. Kaladin searched through the lumberyard until he found Gaz speaking with a bridge leader in front of Bridge 3's barrack. As was growing common, Gaz grew pale when Kaladin approached and made as if to scurry away.
Gaz, wait! I have an offer for you.
The bridge sergeant froze. Beside Gaz, Bridge 3's leader shot Kaladin a scowl. The way the other bridgemen had been treating him suddenly made sense. They were perturbed to see Bridge 4 come out of a battle in such good shape. Bridge 4 was supposed to be unlucky. Everyone needed someone else to look down on, and the other bridge crews could be consoled by the small mercy that they weren't in Bridge 4. Kaladin had upset that. The dark, bearded bridge leader retreated, leaving Kaladin and Rock alone with Gaz.
What are you offering this time? More Dun spheres?
No, I'm out of spheres. But we can't continue like this, you avoiding me, the other bridge crews hating me.
Don't see what we can do about it.
I tell you what, is anyone on stone-gathering detail today?
Yeah, Bridge 3. Busick there was just trying to convince me that his team is too weak to go. Storms blast me, but I believe him. Lost 2/3 of his men yesterday, and I'll be the one who gets chewed out when they don't gather enough stones to meet quota.
Kaladin nodded sympathetically. Stone gathering was one of the least desirable work details. It involved traveling outside of the camp and filling wagons with large rocks. Soul casters fed the army by turning rocks into grain, and it was easier for them, for reasons only they knew, if they had distinct, separate stones. So men gathered rocks. It was menial, sweaty, tiring, mindless work. Perfect for bridgemen.
Why don't you send a different bridge team?
You know the kind of trouble that makes. If I'm seen playing favorites, I never hear an end of the complaining.
Nobody will complain if you make Bridge 4 do it.
I didn't think you'd react well to being treated differently.
I'll do it, just this once. Look, Gaz, I don't want to spend the rest of my time here fighting against you.
Your men are going to be angry. I won't let them think it was me who did this to them.
I'll tell them that it was my idea.
All right, then. Third bell, meet at the western checkpoint. Bridge 3 can clean pots.
Rock stepped up beside Kaladin watching Gaz.
The little man is right, you know. The men will hate you for this thing. They were looking forward to easy day.
They'll get over it.
But why change for harder work? It's true. You are crazy, aren't you?
Maybe. But that craziness will get us outside of the war camp.
What good is that?
It means everything. It means life and death. But we're going to need more help.
Another bridge crew?
No. I mean that we, you and I, will need help. One more man, at least.
Kaladin scanned the lumberyard and noted someone sitting in the shadow of Bridge 4's barrack.
Yeah.
The grizzled bridgeman hadn't been among the group that had laughed at Kaladin earlier, but he had been quick to help yesterday, going with Rock to carry Layton. Kaladin strode out across the grounds, Rock trailing behind. Syl left his shoulder and zipped into the air, dancing on a sudden gust of wind. Teft looked up as Kaladin and Rock approached. The older man had fetched breakfast, and he was eating alone, a piece of flatbread peeking out beneath his bowl. His beard was stained by the curry, and he regarded Kaladin with wary eyes before wiping his mouth on his sleeve.
I like my food, son. Hardly think they feed me enough for one man, let alone two.
Kaladin squatted in front of him. Rock leaned up against the wall and folded his arms, watching quietly.
I need you, Teft.
I said...
Not your food. You. Your loyalty. Your allegiance.
The older man continued to eat. He didn't have a slave brand, and neither did Rock. Kaladin didn't know their stories. All he knew was that these two had helped when others hadn't. They weren't completely beaten down.
Teft?
I've given my loyalty before. Too many times now. Always works out the same.
Your trust gets betrayed?
Storms, no. I betray it. You can't depend on me, son. I belong here as a bridgeman.
I depended on you yesterday, and you impressed me.
Fluke.
I'll judge that. Teft, we're all broken in one way or another. Otherwise, we wouldn't be bridgemen. I failed. My own brother died because of me.
So why keep caring?
It's either that or give up and die.
And if death is better?
Death isn't better. It's easy to say that now, but when you stand on the ledge and look down into that dark, endless pit, you change your mind. Just like Hopper did. Just like I've done. I think you've seen it too.
I have. So, are you with us in this thing?
Us?
I get to keep my food?
Yes.
All right then, I guess. Can't be any harder than sitting here and having a staring contest with mortality.
Kaladin held out a hand. Teft hesitated, then took it. Rock held out a hand.
Rock.
Teft looked at him, finished shaking Kaladin's hand, then took Rock's.
I'm Teft.
Stormfather. I've forgotten that most of them don't even bother to learn each other's names.
What kind of name is Rock?
He's a stupid one, but at least it has meaning. Does your name mean anything?
I guess not.
Rock, this is not my real name. It's just what lowlanders can pronounce.
Well, what's your real name then?
Yeah, you won't be able to say it.
Teft raised an eyebrow.
Numu Hukumakiyaki Ayil Lunamore.
Well, I guess in that case, Rock will do just fine.
Our bridge leader has a plan. Something glorious and daring. Has something to do with spending our afternoon moving stones in the heat.
We need to gather a certain kind of plant. A reed that grows in small patches outside the camp.